We're glad to be back.
Here it is.
Althea and Tammy signing off. We'll see you next week.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
An atmosphere devoid of genre. A place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, or KBOO.FM, where we make musical structures for the listener to enjoy.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s, and Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
Hi, this is Pat Metheny. You're listening to Radio KBOO here in Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:01 a.m. Next up is A Veteran's Voice.
judgment day comes. Yeah. Stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. Pigs crawling, begging mercy for their sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings.
Veterans Voice Radio Show, Portland Calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty's been our engineer again. Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it, my friend. And I haven't been here for a little while because the last 2 months I let you know, it was like Pride time and some other important times coming, and I thought that it was more important for those folks to have my time, and you know, they're very important events that happened, and so it was worth, you know, giving up my hours for the folks. I got a book I'm not going to talk much about this book, but I'll just give the title and who wrote it, and then talk and just say little things about the book. It's pretty good. It's called American White Lash, A Changing Nation and the Cost of Progress by Wesley Lowery. And White Lash really is what the book is talking about. I haven't read a whole lot about in it, but what I've read has been really interesting. It starts out basically talking about when President Obama was elected president, and you know, people thought, wow, finally we're getting a black president, and you know, maybe things will get changed and things will be better for our sisters and our brothers. But it just made all the horrible right-wing fascist types, white supremacists, crawl out of the woodwork because, you know, they didn't want a black president. And I did. I wanted a black president. I want a woman president. I want a Hispanic president. You know, I want an Asian president. I want a change in this country. But it starts out talking about that, you know, how that really changed. And then when you get, I hate to even mention this guy's name. It starts with T and ends with P. Trump. And when he got in there, it really brought these fascists out into the streets, you know. When COVID hit, a lot of Asian folks, you know, were attacked and beaten, and because to these right wingers and fascists and, you know, supremacists, they don't care if the person was from China, you know, they didn't care. Is Asian, you know, they're gonna get them. They're gonna hurt them, and they did. They hurt a lot of people. So that, you know, but this book's about that. I think folks will enjoy it. You know, if you read this book, you'll enjoy it. Because I know I did. I'm trying to get on this page I need. Okay, I got it. I still can't. I have to do it this way because I still haven't got my printer set up. I don't know how to do it. I've been working on it. I got a text from my brother down in Yahats on the Oregon coast, and he sent an article that Tony Bennett, the great singer Tony Bennett, died. He was 96 years old, and Ty and I were talking about him a little earlier. And, you know, Tony Bennett was a World War II veteran, and he fought at the Battle of the Bulge, you know, and he came home and from the war, and, you know, like most of the guys that came back, they wanted to forget the war. They wanted to get back into their lives, and music was his life. And, he did a lot of, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, you know, and just a bunch of other songs. And Ty and I were talking about when he did some concerts, and he also recorded records with Lady Gaga. And he was just a wonderful singer. And it's sad, you know, 96 years old, he had a pretty good life. And those World War II veterans are dying off pretty fast. You know, most of them are probably way up in, they got to be up in their 80s, late 80s, you know, in their 90s. And you know, they're hanging in there. But pretty soon, you know, they're all going to be gone. And what's, you know, who's going to talk to these children about war, you know, like, because the Korean veterans are dying off pretty fast. So, and us Vietnam veterans, you know, we're getting right up there too. I'm going to be 75 in October. And a lot of, you know, we're going to be not around, you know. And the folks coming out of the Gulf, they're starting to talk more. I talk to a lot of folks, you know, that send stuff to me, or, you know, I meet on the streets, or a lot of these folks, man, women, they're talking, you know, boy, they're talking about what happened to them during the war, you know, not just the violence of the war, but also the sexual attacks on women. You know, that happens a lot on these women. And, you know, they have special classes for military sexual something. It's military sexual something, MS something. But it's for counseling for these veteran women. You know, Angie, who used to be here on the show with me, she talks about it a lot, you know. Well, you know, and what happened to her on her Navy ship, you know, in the Gulf, and she's pretty open about what happened to her. I'm hoping to see her after the show. I'm heading up to Index, Washington. It's a east of Seattle of my Laurel's niece is getting married, and they invited me up to the wedding, so I decided I was going to go, because, you know, like I was telling Ty, that after Laurel died, that her brother and Aaron and her brother Augie, you know, all have all kept in contact with me after all these years, and Jeff would come down and stay with me out of my house, and it was really good, you know. It was really good to have them around, you know. It was really nice. So I get to see all of them, like I said, just in about 6 hours from now, I get to see them. I read something really that just aggravated me. It was on the news. I don't think very many people saw it, but it was an article about Florida. You know how they're going back to their old way, you know, old days, and boy, DeSantis put some crazy laws in down there, and I'm trying to find this article for you, and it'll, any progressive person will just be angry. Well, it's pretty interesting here that I don't know what state it is, but they're taking down a statue of, it was a horrible depiction of a Native American. It was so horrible that people are saying, you know, this is horrible. We're not going to have that. You know, if we're going to have a statue of respect. And they took that statue down because it definitely didn't have any respect for the folks. And okay, here's the, okay, here, let me get it here. New Florida standards teach students that some black people benefited from slavery because it taught them useful skills. Can you believe that? They would put something like that to teach children in schools about slavery that was good for our sisters and brothers black in the black community. That is just horrible that they would even say something like that, especially put it in the teaching standards. That they would put something like that in there. That's just criminal, man. I hope that they get rid of that. Yeah. Learn skills. After the Civil War, a lot of the ex-slaves didn't have really any skills besides working in fields. It was really hard for our black brothers and sisters after the emancipation came, you know. And for them to say, Florida to say that they learned skills is just an insult, a slap in the face of our brothers and sisters. I read this article about up in Coeur d'Alene last year, I think it was last year, at a gay pride meeting that a bunch of Patriot Front right-wing supremacists were going to go in and interrupt the festival. But somebody saw them loading into a U-Haul trailer, you know, truck, and they called it into the police, said it looked like army, you know, loading up and going to war. And so before they got to the festival was that the cops pulled them over, and there's something like 31 altogether, and 5 of them have been convicted and are going to be, I think the leader of it got the most time. But one of those 31 folks was from Oregon, and I couldn't find out what his name was. He was from Oregon. So, you know, that's that a year ago. But it's even now, there's still on the January 6th, you know, riots that went into the Senate and the House, and a lot of those guys are getting some pretty heavy prison time. I think the longest one so far has been 9 or 10 years. You know, the ones that attacked the police folks guarding the Capitol building are getting the most time. But, you know, there's a lot of people there, and a lot of people went into the building. And one of them, the guy that one of the guys that's getting it is that guy that had a buffalo horn thing on his head, his face painted. Yeah, he got time. But after when he went before the judge, he's talking about, oh, I was wrong, and I believed Trump, and oh, I hate to say that name, but I believed Trump and what he said, but now I know that's not true, and I'm very sorry for what happened. And he got out of prison, I think, for some reason. But now he's saying he didn't. He actually said I basically lied about it. You know, that I really did believe everything, and you know, it just it just makes me so angry thinking about how these folks, you know, that did that. Basically, they were stupid. For one thing, they had no real support across the nation for something like that, going in and attacking a building like that. I was reading this article because I think Yellen, Secretary of something, finances or something, had been to China, and she was trying to get things better between the U.S. and China, and so she spent time there talking. And China's, you know, they know they got power now. They're not going to bend over for this country anymore. They're a pretty powerful country, right, you know. And she went there to, you know, try to, you know, all the trouble, all the U.S. made up trouble about Taiwan, the Chinese attacking and taking over Taiwan, which Taiwan actually does belong to China, but, you know, the U.S. says, we're going to stand behind them forever, or some junk like that. And then the South China Sea, where China built up those islands and claimed most of the South China Sea. That's a big flashpoint between China and the United States. So, but Janet Yellen thought that, you know, that she went, she did some good things, but, you know, we didn't really find out what she actually did there. And so I was reading this article. Okay, here it is. Let me get it up here so I'll remember what I'm doing. No, it didn't work. Come on. I'm going to have to get that printer going, man. I just can't do it. Ty, I can't do the computer, that printer at home. I'm going to have to get somebody to come and do it for me. So, I'm going to have to do this a different way. So, okay, there we go. Let me see, wait till it kicks up here. But I have another book at home. I didn't bring it with me. And it talks about what happened to Vietnam after the Americans tried to go in and steal everything that the Vietnamese had. And it's pretty interesting book, too. I wish I'd have brought it. And as I was reading this, and as I was looking down, I saw this little dwarfy-looking guy. I'm sorry, This weird-looking guy. And I recognized him, and I said, what is he doing in China? He went to visit China. And this guy's a war criminal. He should be in the docket at The Hague for war crimes, not just in what he did to Vietnam, but what he did to a lot of places in South America, And that was Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, I believe, under Nixon, something like that. And him and Nixon did all this horrible stuff, They planned to end the war in Vietnam, but, they didn't tell us that there was just going to bomb the country. They never told us that. We thought, he said he had a secret peace deal. He's not a crook. And Kissinger was right in there with him, boy, planning all this while he was also doing stuff in South America, in Central America. The guy's really a war criminal. He really is. And I was thinking, geez, this guy's got to be old. And so I read a little more, and he's 100 years old. He's 100 years old, a war criminal, and he's 100 years old, and he flew to China. I don't know what for, but he's a war criminal. I'm not a drinking man, but when this guy dies, maybe I'll just drink some water, But he's just a war criminal. And here's part of it. Veteran U.S. diplomat Henry Kissinger met with Chinese President Xi Jinping on Thursday during a surprise visit to Beijing. What? I mean, he's 100 years old and he's still meddling, in other countries. I just don't know how come he's still alive. Details of the talks were not disclosed, though a statement praised Kissinger as a legendary diplomat. A diplomat of death. The meeting came 2 days after spontaneous talks between Kissinger and China Defense Minister Li Shangfu. So the 100-year-old former U.S. Secretary of State was hosted by the Chinese Premier at a state guest house. Details of the talks were not disclosed, though a statement praised Kissinger as a legendary diplomat in reference to his prior work in negotiating U.S. Something with China, according to a Google search. Chinese people value friendship, and we will never forget our old friend and your historic contribution to promoting the development of Sino-U.S. relations and enhancing the friendship between Chinese and American people. But, why was he meeting with their guy on the defense minister of China? He didn't go there out of the goodness of his heart. I guarantee you that, because he doesn't have a heart. If he had a heart, it's made of stone, And I guarantee you, he flew on a private jet to get there because he's part of some big firm that does all kinds of junk. I can't remember the name of the firm. And one time I had the phone number of the name of the firm and everything. And so I called that number. It was back in, I think it was in New York. I can't remember. And so I called that number, and I said I wanted to talk to Henry Kissinger about, him being a war criminal And they hung up on me, you know, talking to you. And so, yeah. And, okay, there's something else in here. Oh, the video also features footage of a recent visit to China by U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, and U.S. Climate Envoy John Kerry. So those people went over there, you know, with something, trying to do something good. Janet Yellen's really good. I think, president of the World Bank or something like that? She was really good. And I don't know so much about Blinken, but if he's Secretary of State, you know, he's probably starting to get a pretty bad, he has no heart or feelings, you know, outside of what he's doing. He's probably pretty much going to have a dead heart. And then John Kerry was a Vietnam vet, and he's doing, you know, working with the government on climate control, which is, I think the two biggest emitters of bad stuff in disguise, China and Russia. I mean, China and the U.S. Tig, I'm going to get ready to have you play that second song, but just a minute, I'm going to talk about it. The next song I want to play is by a group called The Warning, and they're three sisters from Monterrey, Mexico, and they're young. They're 23, 21, and I think 19. But they've been playing together as a band for 10 years, and they're very, very talented. And I listen to their music. I really enjoy them. You know, they're a pretty heavy rock band. I want to warn you about that. But this song that they have done, it's called Disciple. And remember, these are some young people from Mexico, and they're going to be talking about something pretty heavy. So listen to the song and listen to the words in this song. Okay, Ty, you ready? Okay, he's getting ready to do it for us here. Okay, here it goes. The world is in London. It's starting again, but all- if you listen to, you know, these are, like I said, three young women from Mexico. And they have a lot of really good songs, but this one is the most, probably the most political of their songs. But they have another one, it's in Spanish. It's called Martyr, but it's Spanish, the word for martyr. And it's really good, too. I had to look the lyrics up for that one. And it's really good. These young women are just great. They're just great. The smallest of them, the 21-year-old, she's the shortest, smallest one. They're all small. But she's the drummer, and she's just amazing. They're all amazing players, musicians. And they're experts on their on what they play, the guitar, the drums, and the youngest girl plays the bass. And they're just great, you know. They sell out wherever they go. A year ago, they were in Portland, and I hadn't been following them until, you know, maybe 6 months ago. I wish I would have known about them then. I would have gone and seen them in concert. They're just amazing band. They do a cover of Metallica's Inner Sandman that's really, really good. But I just want you to hear how these young people in Mexico are thinking about, you know, what's happened with the environment. And the words of the song really explains it, you know. And I read about the drummer's the one that does the writing and stuff, and she was saying that that people, you know, watch the TV and stuff. They, you know, they're just becoming disciples of the craziness, you know. And it's a really good group. It's The Warning from Monterrey, Mexico. When I heard that United States of America was sending cluster munitions to Ukraine, and it just made me so, so angry that they would do this, that the United States would do this. You know, there's some proof that both Russia and Russia and Ukraine have used cluster munitions. You know, but the U.S. says, well, our cluster munitions are better because the dud rate is less than 2%. You know, and they say, we don't know what Russia's is, but I bet it's a lot worse than that. But, you know, you can't trust them. We can't trust anything they say. Cluster munitions are just horrible. What they are, there's this bomb, and they drop it, and the outer skin comes off, and all these little, they're not little, some of them are like softball-looking size. They call them bomblets. They come flying out and explode, and if they do explode, they just terribly just destroy it. And some of them have little flechettes that look like little arrows, you know, and they blast those out and just destroy everything. They can, I think they said that one of those bombs can cover the size of 2 football fields, I think is what they said. But these things are so, so dangerous. And the United States is sending these things to Ukraine. Ukraine saying that, well, we're not going to use them, you know, in these populated areas. And Russia, you know, they don't know what they're saying. But this thing has got to come to an end sooner or later. And those duds are going to be out there, just like they were in Vietnam, just like they were in Laos, just like they were in Cambodia, just like they were in Afghanistan. You know, in Afghanistan, some of the of these that the U.S. dropped in Afghanistan were shaped like butterflies. They're called butterfly things. And they look like a toy. And so these duds that didn't go off, you know, kids were picking them up thinking that they were a toy. And then they blast off. You know, and these things are so dangerous. And I'm trying to get this here, get more on. You know, there's so many, you know, Human Rights Watch, you know, definitely against them. And there's something like the U.S., Ukraine, Russia, and a few more didn't sign the treaty to ban landmines, which cluster bombs were a part of that. But there's over 100 nations that did sign on to that, but the U.S. you know didn't. So they're using those cluster bombs. I remember seeing, I went up to Hanoi, and I was going through a museum up there, and it had some a couple of those big bombs that they have, and they'd opened it up and to show what was inside of them, and they were the ones that were like baseball, softball size, and that thing must have had 100 of those little bomblets in it. So just think of the damage that those could do. They could just wipe out a village, and which they probably did. You could just wipe out a village with dropping these cluster bombs. And the duds, you know, my brother and I don't see eye to eye on this subject, man. But I mean, it's just, you know, we talk to each other about it. It's not like, you know, I scream at him and he screams at me. You know, he's just trying to justify the use of these cluster bombs. And I'm just saying, no, that these things are wrong. That you can't, these are just horrible, wrong. They've already sent them, but this is an article before that sent them. The U.S. have sent to Ukraine as part of a new military aid package, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan confirmed on Friday, following months of debate within the Biden administration about whether to provide Kyiv with controversial weapons banned by over 100 countries, including key U.S. allies. So supposedly they had this, you know, big talk about it, but guess who won? It was the warmongers won. I'm not going to stand up here and say it is easy, Salvatore Porter. It's a difficult decision. It's a decision we deferred for a while. It's a decision that required a real hard look at the potential harm to civilians. And when we put all that together, there was a unanimous recommendation from the national security team, and President Biden ultimately decided, in consultation with allies and partners, and in with members of Congress, to move forward on this strategy. They don't care about human life. They don't care. This is a proxy war. Ukraine and Russia fighting is a proxy war for the United States. They say that the government, whoever they are, this, you know, say that they don't want American troops on the ground. But they're liars. There's already American troops on the ground in Ukraine. There's just no doubt about it. None. It's not just the military. You know, the CIA has their own military type guys. There are some American civilians who have gone to Ukraine to fight against the Russians. But a lot of those are leaving now, and I don't know why. I didn't finish reading the article, but I saw that foreign fighters leaving, and so I just celebrated, you know. And but these, I don't know how they came forward with a justification of using these bombs. I don't. President Biden approved the transfer of the munitions this week, officials told CNN last week that the administration was strongly considering the move as Ukrainian forces have struggled to make major gains in their counteroffensive against Russia. So that's just, you know, the U.S. has had a case of it against Russia since 1917, you know. And my brother and I kind of disagree on some things, and I'm saying Russia is trying to protect itself. It's what they're doing. And one of the things that they're really against is NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. These countries becoming part of NATO, which means that if any of them are attacked, the rest of the NATO group will come in and protect them. And the U.S. is a big part. In fact, they helped start it. So they have a lot of say within NATO. And I think Finland just signed with NATO, and they're right on the border with China, with Russia. But Ukraine is not a member of NATO. Zelensky, their president, has met with the U.S. and other, you know, and saying, we want to be part of NATO. We want to be part of NATO. And but they still haven't, you know, they haven't been. You know, what would the U.S. do? You know? Look what they did in the early 60s, I believe, when Russia had put strategic missiles in China. We almost went to nuclear war over that. What would they do if Mexico started, you know, bringing Chinese weapons on the border? Or Canada? They wouldn't put up with it. The U.S. wouldn't put up with it. And that's just like Russia. They don't want to put up with it. You know? And the U.S. is just fighting Russia through the Ukrainian people and all the deaths that's already happened because of this war. Not just in Ukraine, which is a lot of people die and are still dying, and in Russia, where their soldiers are dying. You know, they always say how many Russians have been killed. And that reminds me back in the days when we were fighting Vietnam, and in the news, they always had this thing, you know, Americans were killed in Vietnam today, and the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese lost this many, which was like 20 times more than the Americans, you know. And so, you know, I was thinking that's just what, you know, that's what this crap is, you know. Oh, man. And so the U.S. told the president of Ukraine that, you know, they're going to stay and they're going to back them and they're not, you know, all this stuff. But that's the same thing they told the South Vietnamese, that, yeah, we're going to stand behind you until this is all done and we're going to push, you know. And what happened? You know, they packed their bags and left. U.S. packed their bag and we're out of here. War went on for 10 years and all of a sudden, you know, the peace treaty on the table in Paris, which Kissinger was part of, and he won a Nobel Peace Prize for that. And I think Lê Duc Tho was the Vietnamese, and he, it was Kissinger and Lê Duc Tho, but Lê Duc Tho didn't take any money, you know. He didn't accept it. But old Henry did. Oh, Henry took it. Boy, he sure did. You know, he gets a Nobel Peace Prize after destroying Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. He's a man of peace. He's a war criminal. a war criminal. But getting back to Kyiv and the Ukraine, you know, what Russia did was wrong. Don't take me wrong on that. What they did was wrong. You know, I don't support any country attacking another country. So, just want to say that. But these cluster bombs, man, they are just so devastating, you people. You know, I complained to our U.S. senators, Wyden and Merkel. I think his name's Merkel. And I sent a message, you know, man, I haven't checked my email lately to see if I got any answers back from him. And I'm sure it's just a typical, you know, I sign their name to it. They don't know anything. But they, you know, they're, oh gosh, I'm just so angry. Angry. Okay, I want to get this part in here real quick because I'm running out of time. Oh, friend Henry. Oh, here we go. One of the big groups that did get all, it's over 100 countries signed a ban on landmines. It's an international campaign to ban landmines. And they did a really, really good job of working on that. Drinking water because my mouth's so dry. But they did get a Nobel Peace Prize for doing that. And one of them that did it, the founding coordinator for the internet was Jody Williams. You know, and so her and I can't remember what group she was part of that won that. So she won part of the money and this organization won the other part of the money. But they worked really hard to get that. And here the U.S., it's like spitting in, you know, in someone's eye. But it's worse by the United States because they don't spit. They stab you with a knife in your eye, you know, using use American troops. You know, not in defense of our country against, you know, invaders. They send them out around the world to protect American interests. They use them as, they use soldiers, sailors, airmen, and whatever, you know, as pieces on a chess game, you know, board. It's just like the super rich. They think of money different than we think of money. We think of money to survive. What they do, they use money to make more money. They think of money different than we do. It's just like the government thinks of our troops as, you know, chess pieces that they can send wherever they want to send them. And that's wrong. That's just really wrong. And I've used that analogy when I've talked in the schools, you know. And, you know, and another thing about landmines or the cluster bombs or whatever, not just does it just destroy human beings when they drop them. I mean, it just everything's gone when they drop these things. And if they drop three or four of those bombs, man, and all those bomblets come out, boy, that's bad. Because the U.S., I think the U.S., the ones that they used in Vietnam and other places, I think it was like 10% of them were duds. Now they're saying that 2% are duds. It doesn't matter if 1% is duds, because if it kills an innocent person, it's still, to me, a war crime. it's still, to me, it's a war crime for what they're doing, using these cluster bombs, giving these cluster bombs to Ukraine. Instead of doing that, they should have been really negotiating with Russia, not to, they didn't sign that campaign, I don't think. No, I don't think they did. But, really talking to these people not to use these bombs. No matter what they say, they're using them. And we as a country has to take responsibility for our government using these bombs that's going to kill innocent people. They're going to kill innocent people. There's just no doubt in my pointed little head that these are going to kill innocent people. I remember talking to some guys. I'm in contact with some guys on this Facebook page that was in Vietnam. I was with them in Vietnam, and we get into some pretty heated. Not Pete. We talk to each other, and we have this disagreement of, you know, about these land. But one thing they all agreed on is that these landmines and these cluster ammunition are bad. Are really, really bad. So we all agree on that. And I remember one of the guys, I can't remember who exactly, he says, well, how many people, civilians, do you accept dying in a war? And I said, none, I says, I don't think civilians should die in a war. And so we all had this big conversation about that, too. And I'm still saying that these cluster munitions are something that we just really, 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 really have to hold our government responsible for. But, people have short memories. Afghanistan still dealing with these mines and these cluster bomb duds. They're still dealing with those. But the U.S., people in the U.S., it's not affecting them. And so they don't think about it, but I do. Ty, I'm getting ready to close out, buddy. We got 2 minutes, and I think I'm just going to close out and let Todd play either one of those songs to end it. We'll be back on August 18th at 9 a.m., and there it is. Thanks, folks, for listening and keeping KBOO alive. Donate to KBOO. Todd, go ahead and play either one of those songs, buddy. Okay, he's playing that one, War Pigs, Black Sabbath.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. That plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields the bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Voila, yeah!
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
In 2020, Portland saw unprecedented protests for racial justice and widespread criticism of the Portland police and the institution of policing itself. It's now been almost 3 years since over 80% of Portland voters approved changing the city charter to create a new civilian-led police oversight system. The Police Accountability Commission has been hammering out the details, and their plan goes before City Council at the end of August. Totality of Circumstances will be hosting the commissioners live on KBOO on Tuesday, July 25th, and you can call in with questions or comments about the proposal. You can also send us questions at totalityradio@gmail.com. That's totalityradio@gmail.com. Join us on July 25th from 5 to 6 p.m. and make your voice heard.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're